Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. We're going to anticipate Catholic Schools Week. Conversation with Darlene Braun, who is principal at St. Joseph's School in Pierce, South Dakota. She tells about all the good things going on at their school. I hope you'll stick around for that interview. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Michelle Sletton with the first and second reading. Father Darren Schmidt with the Gospel.
A reading from the Book of Nehemiah. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is, His Excellency, and Ezra, the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, once a month, students from Holy Spirit School in Sioux Falls visit the residents of the Prince of Peace Retirement Community in Sioux Falls. During that visit, that is, the students usually share a special activity. One of the recent monthly visits included students performing some special music for the residents. The concert for the seniors at Prince of Peace was great preparation for the students' future music programs and was a wonderful coming together of two generations for fun, enjoyment, and bonding. You can read and see more about the students' visit to the Prince of Peace Retirement Community in the January edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, if there was a common denominator aside from the Christian faith that united most pilgrims heading to the opening Mass for World Youth Day 2019 in Panama, it was that each person in his or her own way, that is, faced a challenge back home. Pilgrims from places such as El Salvador, Zimbabwe, and the Dominican Republic spoke of increasing violence, political or otherwise, threatening their general populations. Others from places such as Australia and the United States spoke of growing secularism affecting the religious beliefs of their peers. And yet almost every one of them wore a smile, and most importantly, many of them expressed the belief that most of the problems had a solution and that each could be overcome with a belief in a Christ who offers not riches, nor power, but hope to help themselves and to help others. The pro-life movement has touched hearts, changed lives, and saved lives in the 46 years since the Supreme Court handed down its Roe decision legalizing abortion on demand. Vice President Mike Pence told the 37th annual Rose Dinner in Washington recently, "Our movement is as vibrant as the values that we advocate," he said, delivering a keynote speech at the dinner, which is sponsored by the March for Life organization. "We're growing and we're inspiring a rising generation with our message of generosity and compassion, and life is winning in America because of all of you." The vice president repeated the message he delivered to the March for Life rally earlier in the day, "We're the Pences and we're pro-life." He and his wife, Second Lady Karen Pence, were a surprise addition to the roster of speakers at the annual rally on the National Mall earlier that day. Mrs. Pence also was at the Rose Dinner. The night before, the Pences were also surprise guests at a charity gala for Save the Storks, a pro-life organization based in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Founded in 2012, Save the Storks partners with pregnancy resource centers around the country and provides vans fully equipped with ultrasound machines that take resources to women, especially those in underserved neighborhoods. In a related item, the annual One Life LA is about the light, not the darkness, said Los Angeles Archbishop Jose H. Gomez, who was joined by about 15,000 Southern Californians for the fifth annual event recently. One Life LA is not only an event, it is a vision, he said, in welcoming the crowd. In a society that promotes a selfish me-against-you individualism, One Life LA celebrates people who are living lives of self-sacrifice, generosity, and service. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks so much. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by the principal of St. Joseph's School in Pierre, Darlene Braun. Darlene joining us by phone. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
I like to do this as we approach Catholic Schools Week each year to kind of pick different places around the diocese and talk to principals about, you know, what's going on at their school, some of the highlights that are happening, and of course, featuring things that are going on for Catholic Schools Week as well. We're at that time of year now, and I imagine, Darlene, that it's a fun time for the kids, and I think for the teachers too, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. It's a time when we can really celebrate that we're able to share our faith each and every day with these cute little children.
And that's part of what makes Catholic school special.
Yes.
The theme this year nationally, and I know I think it's being used somewhat within the diocese as well, mm-hmm. is Catholic schools learn, serve, lead, succeed. It's a nice little summary of, I think, what Catholic schools try to do.
Exactly. Yes. Each and every day we're here learning. And we're trying to teach these children to be leaders, and also they lead through serving others. They have to be the hands of Jesus.
And sometimes making that link for them is as important as anything else, isn't it? That they learn that they actually, not only that they can do it, but that they have a responsibility to do that, to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And that I know there's practical ways that that plays out, and we maybe talk about some of those this morning as we go along. Again, for Catholic Schools Week, they talk about the spiritual, academic, and societal contributions provided by a Catholic education rooted in the truth of the gospel. And again, how that plays out is interesting and part of what we want to talk about today. But I think it certainly is true that that's what Catholic schools are all about.
Yep.
Nationally, 1.8 million students enrolled in 6,352 Catholic schools across our country. In South Dakota, of course, those numbers are considerably smaller, but we still have size isn't always the most important thing. It's what's going on in those schools. And tell us a little bit about St. Joseph's School these days, Darlene. What's going on? What are you proud of?
Okay, well, I have been here since 1982. I planned on coming for 1 year, and it was going to be a stopping ground, and I was moving on, and God got a hold of me, and he never let go. And so about 15 years ago, I became the principal of the school and have seen growth here at St. Joe's. It's wonderful to see more and more children of all faiths coming. Presently, our population is 30% non-Catholic and 70% Catholic. We have children from across the river, Fort Pierre, coming in, adding to our numbers. And so it's wonderful to be able to share our faith and not water down our Catholicism, but share our faith and help these children understand that Christ is really present when we enter that church and that he lives in each one of us. Presently, we are 188 students, K through 5. We have two classes of each, and one of our unique specialties that we do that's unlike other schools within the diocese and within pure public schools is we're departmentalized grades 2 through 5. So that means that our teachers teach one grade, and they teach in the morning, and then once again teach a new group of children in the afternoon the same subject. So my teachers are teaching to their passions. Mm-hmm. They're teaching to their strengths, which really helps our test scores. When you're passionate about what you're doing, you're better at it. You don't push it to the side. So many times science gets pushed to the side. But when that teacher loves it, they make sure that it's taught each and every day. So that is huge for us.
As you said, that's a bit unique. I mean, we certainly hear about that at the college level and the high school level, and even somewhat to the junior high level. But in the grade school level, that's a bit of a unique approach, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We're the only ones doing it. You do have to have two teachers in the same grade that get along and are willing to work together and share ideas and especially discipline strategies. Mm-hmm. So that would be the one. If we have a hiccup, teachers need to be moved around to a different partner. But we have found it very successful. Our test scores are in the top 15% of the state almost every year. So very pleased with what we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. And recognized not just within our state for high marks, but also a Blue Ribbon school a few years ago. Talk about that process a little bit and what it took. That's such a rare achievement for a school to achieve a Blue Ribbon status.
Yeah, very, very exciting, especially a private school to receive that Blue Ribbon status because they only give 50 private schools that recognition each year. And so for us to receive that, we were just thrilled. One day I just sat down and said, well, this is the day I'm going to do it. And I shut my office door and filled out the forms. And we had to show that we were in the top 15% of our state. We had to show that we were innovative. that the principal followed school requirements. So it was a huge thrill.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
I told the children it was like winning the World Series and the Super Bowl all at once.
Yeah, kind of true. But what it does too is it creates a lot of pride in that community, doesn't it?
It does. And that is the year that we saw a lot of growth in our non-Catholic population.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted the best for their children, and they're willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's who we are as parents, right? We do want the best for our children, and if we see something like that, we're gonna aspire to it for our kids.
Yes.
Were you already doing the departmental approach at that point?
Yes, we started it at fifth grade and did it for 2 years, and it was successful. So then we slowly mutated it down and down and down, and second grade seems to be as low as we can go.
Mm-hmm.
First grade students still need that one person that they can love and that one person that's consistent with all behaviors. So we've tried it a little bit with just flipping social studies and science and haven't found that successful. So we're back to self-contained classrooms for kindergarten and first.
And having that adaptability, that flexibility of again, I think because of your of who you are as a Catholic school, what does that do for you? How does that help you? You can experiment a little bit, can't you, with some of this?
Oh, yeah. As long as you're, staying within your state guidelines, and as long as you have a staff that sees the same vision as the leader of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Our pastor is also very, very important that he shares our vision and is willing to work with us also.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a whole community to raise a child.
I know one of the things that I hear every Catholic school principal or Catholic school leader talk about is the importance of the parents and their volunteering and their support of the school. That's you just couldn't do it without that, could you?
No, we couldn't. Our parent support is huge. They are so very involved in our fundraising. They're so very involved in every aspect of our school. It only takes one phone call, and you have parents that are willing to come in and do what you ask them to do. They've invested in the school financially and put their most precious gift in this building, and they're going to work to make sure that it stays the type of school they want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely so. All right, let's talk a little bit about Catholic Schools Week itself now. I again, as we started this morning, I mentioned how I know the students always look forward to it, and maybe the teachers and the parents do as well. I certainly remember when my kids were younger and involved with Catholic schools, there was all kinds of fun stuff that happened that week.
Yep. It is a fun week, and we generally celebrate a certain thought each day, a certain theme each day.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we're celebrating our parish. We, Monsignor McGuire, built our school 60 years ago this year, and so we're celebrating our parish and making cards for them and serving coffee and rolls after Mass. Monsignor McGuire believed that Catholics build schools because God belongs in every classroom, and our parish still believes in that. They help. They're always there for everything for us, and so many times we are not connected to them, and so we have been working very hard to make that connection through our prayers and through morning Mass and those kind of things. So one day we're just going to celebrate our parish. And then it's the diocese, St. Joseph Cathedral's 100th anniversary.
It is.
And so on a Monday, we're going to celebrate our diocese. Vera has given us shirts, and they have the picture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet on it. And so we're celebrating the history of the cathedral, and we found photographs, and we're going to take that lesson and learn more about the Mother Church and how our diocese supports our school.
Beautiful.
And then Mary being the patron saint of our nation, she's going to be the focus on another day. And then we're celebrating our 60 years of success here at St. Joseph's School. And the children will dress in 1950s attires through the 2000s attire, so they can choose what they want, how they want to dress that day. And then we're going to dance through the decades. So we'll be doing the twist and the Macarena and
how fun.
The hustle. And so it should be a fun, fun time. And then we are inviting, it's called KISS, Kids Invite Someone Special to Mass. And so on Friday at our all-school Mass, we will, each child will bring a guest, and then we'll to Mass, and then we'll come over and have coffee and rolls, and they will watch opening exercises. Last year, we did this with grandparents, and grandparents were so very impressed with what they saw, and the children praying, hearing those prayers for their people special in their life. So that'll be a special day, too. And then on Saturday, we always celebrate with a school carnival, which is our second largest fundraiser for our school. Mm-hmm. And the whole community comes. It's a wonderful time of fellowship with all ages.
This week, I know for a lot of our schools, is a chance to, in a sense, open the doors, just as you mentioned with your carnival, in case people aren't familiar with what you're doing or might be curious and want to learn more. This is a great week to do that.
Mm-hmm. And to get them to Mass, too, is that extra plus.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's our way. Our preschoolers, it's St. Peter and Paul preschool, but they're within our building, and so we will be celebrating those parents when they bring their children in the mornings during that week also.
Yeah, Darlene, do you see any, speaking of that age group, do you see parents that are, in a sense, younger parents now, are they still feeling able to make this choice to send their kids to Catholic school? You know, maybe they start in the preschool. Are they able to transition easily then into your school?
You know, it's gotten better the last few years. Now, for this next year, I have all, we have 24 in our 5-year-old preschool program, and I have 23 of them enrolled. So it is becoming a feeder. At one time, I don't think it was, because we had parents entering through a different door.
Yep.
And I think now when they enter with all the other children and see how well the children behave and get a feel of the atmosphere, they really want that for their children. I had a parent stop in just this morning, and she said, I took her around and on a tour, and she said, I don't know what's different, but I can just feel the difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we hope that they can feel Christ's presence, and that's what I tell my teachers every day is, if Christ is present in this building, we are fine.
So true. That's true for any place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much true for any place. What else do you want people to know about St. Joseph's School? Not necessarily just because of Catholic Schools Week, but maybe using that as an excuse to talk about things a little bit.
You know, not just St. Joseph's School, but any Catholic school. I was raised Episcopalian, and I envy the education these children are getting, that they are so immersed in their faith and know that God is always with them through the good times and the bad times. We have, in the last few years, have had very, very sick individuals within our parish and within our own families, and to pray and see God's answer, I wish I would have had that as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at my own children and how faith-based they are. And I give credit to St. Joseph's School. I do not give credit to her father and myself.
I bet you had a little bit to do with it.
They, just, yeah. I've learned a lot in my time here and how important the Word of God is, and to share it with these little ones.
You know, isn't it great? And Darlene, you mentioned you're a convert. You would never have imagined, I would guess, you know, all the years ago, that you'd end up where you are today. God uses us in unimaginable ways, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. He has his own thoughts, and exactly right, as a convert. And I married my husband. We were married almost 15 years before I converted. So I was a stubborn person, too. I taught here for about 10 years before I converted. But I love where I'm at, and I love my school, and I love my faith, and being able to share every day with these children. We refer to our children as kids of Christ, just reminding them that he is our most powerful role model, and that's who we are to follow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our theme here at St. Joe's is growing as a kid of Christ.
That's beautiful. And I think helpful, you know, in this age that we're living in now with the good of technology and the challenge of technology and all of the different, things that kids confront these days, if they got that tucked away in their heart, boy, that's going to help them a lot.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
we're very blessed.
Yeah, it's a wonderful to hear about what's going on in Pierre, and as you mentioned, this is going on all over the diocese. We have a lot of really fine Catholic schools across eastern South Dakota, and we're very blessed in that regard. I have one more stat that I wanted to give from the national stats that I saw, which really astounded me, and I think we probably match it here, at least match this in our diocese. 99% of Catholic school students graduate from high school. 86% of Catholic school graduates attend college, and this percentage has been consistent for over 20 years. Those are remarkable numbers.
Yep, those are remarkable numbers. I wouldn't want anything less for my child.
There you go.
In fact, I have two grandchildren at St. Agnes in Vermilion also. So
nice shout out to St. Agnes.
Yes, yay, St. Agnes.
That's wonderful. We've been talking this morning with Darlene Braun, who is the principal at St. Joseph Catholic School in Pierre. It serves that whole region, as she mentioned, and serves it well, a Blue Ribbon status school, and continuing to do really wonderful work in the years going forward. Darlene, thanks so much for being with us this morning, and have a wonderful Catholic Schools Week.
Thank you. God bless you.
Gina, I was glad you referenced the Youth Day in Panama. I don't think anyone from our diocese there, but a wonderful gathering.
It always is, certainly.
Yeah, great to recognize that. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.